All right. Shalom, everyone. Good morning. And I hope you guys had a great night's sleep. And if you're in some other part of the country, good night. So I always have to remember that a lot of people that are watching us are going to bed when we're on, and a lot of people that are we're getting up when they're, you know, they're going to bed, and we're going to bed when they're getting up. So we want to finish up last night's Bible study, and I had a thing here, and I began to read it from my Jersey girl, and I apologize to her husband because that's his Jersey girl. But I was just reading the rest of this letter in the back about this client of hers that is 70 years old, and she couldn't find a church that taught about the rapture. So she's a strong believer, and she's already talking about meeting us in the cloud party. Hallelujah. That's what all Christians should be talking about, the cloud party. We should be excited. And it says, please pray for her name. Her name is Colette, it looks like. And she says she's married to a Jewish unbeliever. Well, he believes in God. It's just, you know, it's a blinder on the Jewish people to believe in Yahshua, but it can happen. I hope there's that site that all the Jewish people that have accepted Yahshua go on and give their testimonies. I was wondering if I sent her that site, would her husband watch some of the testimonies of some of the Jewish people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because some of them think that if you accept Yeshua as your Messiah, you're no longer Jewish, and that's not true. Yeah,
Christ was Jewish.
Yeah, but some of them don't even know that. You'd be surprised. Really? You start reading the book of Matthew, and people and Jews are shocked. They're like, wait a minute, this is a Jewish book. It's like, his whole genealogy is Jewish. So anyway, it says, looking forward to seeing you all soon. Much love in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
From Suzanne, his Jersey girl. And my Jersey friend.
Hallelujah.
See ya? Because, all right, P.S. Her salon is 3.5 miles from President Trump's, I guess, golf club. And he said he's going to be there this week. So we'll be praying for him.
Wow.
And praying for no rioters. Praise God. So we'll be praying for that. Hallelujah. I just looked at this again because I left it here this morning. I wanted to read it. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Awesome. We talked a couple of times by phone, Pastor Dan. She's phone, So, and her salon is back. I love the lady that went to that did a night in jail for the salon. She did a great thing for all salon owners. She like, I want to go to jail. I got to open my salon and take care of my people.
That's good.
And so I hope that got all of the salons open. So here, I want to talk about last night's Bible study. And the only way we're going to really be able to talk about it is we're going to have to go through and read Genesis 1 verse 14 first, okay? But before I do that, I've got to pray. And I want to know, is Abigail at home watching, or is she on
she's going to join us later.
She's joining us later online?
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to say she brought me this ring. You see this beautiful ring?
Isn't that beautiful?
It has the Lord's Prayer all the way around it.
Amen.
And I'm like, hallelujah. This is like, I wear it on my pinky now. Now I got a pinky ring that don't look like I'm a bad pastor. You know, some of them pinky rings. Okay, so let's pray in, and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. But we're going to say it in Hebrew because you guys are in the Hebrew Bible Club. And if you are in the Hebrew Bible Club and you have not received the material for the Hebrew Bible class.
Oh, your microphone. Put your microphone on.
Okay, can you hear me though?
No, they can hear you.
Okay. And you have not received the Bible class material, you should, because it helps you to understand when I'm talking about certain numbers and letters and things of this nature, because when God told me how, not to go to Bible college, but to go and learn Hebrew, and then he'll teach me the Bible as I learn Hebrew, that has worked out perfectly, because understanding Hebrew gives me a clearer understanding of the Bible on a whole. Yeah. I mean, it's like turning on the lights in a dark room for me. So I just want to just say that is very important. So I hope you guys are studying it, because I just think the Hebrew is just a light in a dark room. It's beautiful. Once you learn it, how it works, you know, the numerical values and the letters and the names, everything means something in these scriptures. And God is trying to show us, like, you can't just read over stuff, okay? Amen. Anyway, let's read this.
Did you pray in already?
I'm going to read the prayer. And then pray over this. And I like that verse. And then I'm going to pray over the message today, because I want it to be clear. And I want everybody to really understand. I don't want to be excited by myself. I want to be excited with a bunch of other people who are just as nutty as me. But you can't be crazy if you have biblical information that gives you a solid base, okay? So that's what I want us to have our strength on, is the biblical proof of why we're excited, okay? And that's why I don't do stars and stuff, because God's like, that's not what I called you to. I called you to learn the word and to teach and to prepare people to come by studying the word. There are other people that can do the stars and all that stuff, and God bless them. Yeah. But it is confusing to me, okay? So we're going to go with the word of God, and that word is going to teach us that we're in the right season. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, let's pray ourselves in. Avanu Shabba Shabbaim. I'm going to, yeah. Yit Kadesh Shemcha. Tavo melchuteka yi atzerot sanaka be aretz ke ash. Tenlano hayom lechem hukeno uselaklano et ashmeteno ke asher solechem nachnu le asher ashmelanu vial tevienu le demasa ki im hatzilanu min hara ki lecha hamamlecha vehagivra vehatif eret leolamei leolamim amen beishyat Hashem Yeshua Hamashiach anachnu tefilim anachnu shuel leazor hadabarim hayom in the name of your son Yeshua we pray. Hallelujah. Help us with the words today as we read them and study them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So
shout out, Pastor.
Shout
okay.
Out. Someone,
shout ready.
Who's got a shout out?
Okay.
Where are they from?
We, amen. Shalom to New Jersey, Mishpoka. I don't know where that is, what country that is, what nation that is.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada, North Carolina, Connecticut, Tennessee, and Sweden.
Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, San Antonio just chiming in.
Hallelujah, San Antonio.
Amen. Alabama. Chimed in.
Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited.
Georgia.
Ohio, Georgia.
Utah.
Oh, hallelujah. This is preparing us to be at the same party.
Amen. Boise,
and
Idaho.
Hallelujah.
Lambeth in England.
Yes, hallelujah.
Michigan.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Welcome. Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Nebraska.
Praise God. And I'm just going to say hello to my friend, little Ricky, Frederick. He's a good guy. So I'm praying for him, and still in my heart a good guy, but I'm just not an argument person. Once you start arguing with me, I'll be like, I'm done. Yeah, I'm like, I'll see you at the cloud party. But I don't have time to argue with anybody about anything. We can discuss and we can have conversations. You can ask me a question and I can answer it. But no, if you start off the question this then bad. If you cut off the question with an insult, then it's going to be a bad conversation. So,
New York, Colorado, Georgia, and Nebraska.
Okay.
Colorado Springs, New York City.
Hallelujah. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. I love reading this in Hebrew. I'm going to unbutton because we're going to get busy today.
Amen. Amen. That's your book.
Now, and here it says, ooh, I should. Can I read it a little bit in Hebrew? Because I love this verse. I love this verse. Because on the fourth day, God created the stars.
Yes.
And he created the sun and the moon.
Yes.
And he did it all on the fourth day. So it says, Vayomer Elohim Yehi Maor Barakia Hashamayim Lehavdel Ben Yom Uv Ben Halayla Vehi Leot Okay. And then he says, and he put these signs for the days and for the years. Okay. And he put these two great stars. Okay. Vahi Meraot Barakia Hashamaim Lehaor Al Haaretz Vahihin. Then he put the two stars. So what we're looking at here is God creating not only the stars, but he creates the sun, the moon, and then at the very end of this, and he says, and Kohavim. Kohavim means stars. Kohav is a star. Kohavim, the S is stars. So he also put the stars in the sky, okay? So on the fourth day, everybody needs to know that the constellations that tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ was already in the stars.
Yes.
What do the constellations tell you? That a man is going to be born into the world. He's going to be God. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to be a lamb. All of this was already in the star constellations on the fourth day. There was also one of the star constellations is the Southern Crux. So the cross was already in the stars on the fourth day.
Amen.
And if the constellation of the Southern Cross was in the constellation already, and the sun every year sets on that constellation for three days and then rises up on the third day and gives the world more light, then that means God was already planning, or had already knew that Jesus Christ was going to come into the world, and this is on the fourth day. And you have to understand something else too. He didn't create man till the sixth day. So that means that when he created man, he didn't create man to be perfect. He created man because he knew that man would fall.
Right.
And in their falling, he would be the rescuer, and he would be the one who would come and heal everything and put them back in order. But he has these human beings that are now going to go through a test in the world. Okay? And this test in the world is going to be your loyalty to God, okay? Your humility to ask for forgiveness, your humility to read the word and to believe that Jesus is your Messiah and to believe that Jesus is your Savior, right? All of this, see, God wants out of us a willingness to be his friend, okay? And the word in Hebrew, friend, and show and choose is the same word. So basically, you got to choose God if you want to be his friend. You understand? So he uses the same word for choose and for friend. It's the same word. So you have to choose God. So God wanted us to choose. He wanted this to be a free will friendship. Okay? And that's what he did. So I'm going to read it in English because I don't know what's going on with my Hebrew today. I better start back reading more Hebrew every day because that was pitiful. Okay. Now, he says, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be a sign for seasons, for days, and for years. Okay? And he says, let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater one to rule the day. Which light is that?
The sun.
The sun. And the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. And then it says, he made stars also. So he made the stars as well. Okay, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And that was the fourth day, the fourth day. So now God creates the light in the sky. Now, what do we know about the sun? If you're a scientist out there, answer me this question. If God removes the sun right now from the sky, okay, what would survive on Earth? Nothing.
Rocks.
So the light that God put in the sky on the fourth day gives life to everybody. And without the sun, everything would die.
Amen.
Okay? Now, it's amazing to me that God takes this word, the sun, and in English, the sun and the sun is pronounced the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sun and the sun are doing the same thing. Because the sun that gives the whole world life and the sun that comes into the world gives the whole world life.
Amen.
Okay? Now, the sun was created on the fourth day. When did Jesus come into the earth? In the 4,000th year, right? So you have both suns, one on a day, because a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and the other one, so one on 4 days and the other one on 4,000 years comes into the earth. And he came to do what? To give life to everything that's on the earth, okay?
Yeah.
To redeem it, to redeem man, to give us life, okay? The only difference is, only thing is now you have to choose,
yeah.
Okay? Choose you today whom you will serve.
Yes.
So we see that the sun. Now I'm going to show you something else. And it's in Genesis, I believe, chapter 29, because I wanted to show you something, because now four becomes a theme. You know, do you understand that? Four becomes everything that has to do with Jesus is going to be four. The road to Damascus. You know what Damascus, the numerical value for Damascus is? 444. Who was on that road to meet Jesus?
Oh, wow.
Saul, right? But he met Jesus on 444. Understand? It's because he was on the road to Damascus. And so everything in the Bible that talks about Jesus is going to be linked to the number four. So here in Genesis chapter 29, we see here in verse 35, it says, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. She named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. So Judah was what? The fourth child of Leah. Yeah. Judah is the fourth child of Leah. So now, let's stick to that because I don't want to get too deep. So Judah is the fourth child of Leah. And then what tribe does Jesus come from?
Judah.
The tribe of Judah. He has to, right? Because everything at four has to link to Jesus.
Yeah.
You understand? Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And now he tells him to do what? He says to Moses that now I'm going to change the months, right? He wants him to take a lamb and keep the lamb, right? So he tells him this in verse 3. He says, tell the whole community of Israel on the 10th day of the month, each man must take a lamb for his family, one for each household, right? So they're taking a lamb on the 10th of Nisan.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ enters into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan on a donkey, okay? 4 days after that, Jesus gets crucified. And look what it says in verse 6. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey on the 10th of Nisan. By the 14th of Nisan, he dies at twilight on the 14th. So they had to wait how many days? 4 days before they could kill the lamb. So why? Because he's representing the sun, which is the same sun that gives everybody light, and the same sun that's born in the world that gives everybody light, who is from the lineage of Judah, who is the fourth son. And now we're going to wait 4 days and 4,000 years so we can fulfill this, because God is like, I'm going to give you the pattern so you understand how I write my book. Okay. This is why I'm having problems not jumping, you know, up to the ceiling right now, because God is giving you a pattern. And he showed you the pattern in the book of Psalms. And he says, look at this 120 years from 1901 to 2020. Look at it and study it careful. Only one guy has done a really great job of this. And I heard another guy did a book. J.R. Church did the best job of this as anybody could possibly do, because he documented how each of the Psalms prophesy each of the years in Psalm all the way up to the present. And it should be, and they would send out a magazine, and when the new year started, J.R. Church would ask on the magazine, will 2004 prophecy be accomplished in Psalms 104? Then the next year, will 2005 be accomplished in Psalms 105? And then every year they would wait to see if the prophecy was fulfilled in that year. And every year something would happen and they would go, wow, it happened again. And when they got to 2008, they said, let's wait and see if a prophecy in Psalms 108 is going to match 2008. And the prophecy in Psalms 108 was he took off his shoe and he threw it at him, right?
It happened to Bush.
And then in 2008 on CNN, a message to the whole nation, a Arab guy takes off his shoe and throws it at President Bush. And you go, wow, God knows what's going to happen. It could have happened in private, yeah, but no, it happened so the whole world could see that Psalms 108 was prophesied already by God. So all of these scriptures that are being prophesied from Psalms 1 all the way to 2020, and it's amazing, we start off 2020 like this. Now, if it would have been 2019, and I say Psalms 20, 120 says somebody's going to be lying to us in 2020. It's going to be a lie, and we're going to have to ask God to deliver us from the lie. That's what Psalms 120 says. The beginning of Psalms 120 says, God, deliver us from lies. Okay? Now, the world has been lied to. Okay? We were given a plandemic that Fauci comes on TV and tells the whole world and tells the University of Georgetown. Watch that interview if you can. He's on the University of Georgetown and in 2017, and he goes, well, we have a new administration. Trump is president, but I want to guarantee you he's going to have a surprise pandemic during his administration. How did he know that in 2017? That means it was planned, yeah, right? Okay, so but it was planned not just for him, it was planned for Hillary to be in office when it happened, yeah, and it was supposed to produce 65 million deaths, yeah, and a vaccine, and nobody was supposed to go back to work or do anything for at least a year. They were going to destroy the economies of the whole world, yeah, and start this end times one world order thing.
Yes.
But we don't see that. So we don't thank God for President Trump. We just, some people still like wish Obama would come back, which is the craziest thing. A Muslim guy told me when I was my feet in the water to being a Muslim, he said, never let your color of your skin choose your religion. You are spiritual. You come from God. Be true to that first. So you don't pick a religion based on your color. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And so that was able to get me out of foolishness. You understand? You don't be a Obama fan because he's black. Nobody in this church voted for Obama. If they did, they did it secretly because the pastor was telling them, I don't want anybody voting for this Satanist. And so here, let's move on because we're getting off our course. So I'm letting you know the patterns, okay? Fourth day, fourth son, Judah, fourth, everything fourth, okay? So we have to understand that God goes on patterns. So what is the pattern of 120? What is the pattern of the 120? It is this verse in Genesis chapter 2, and you would have to read it in Hebrew because the Hebrew is going to tell you the story, not the English, okay? Because God is going to give Adam a support system, a helper, okay? And that helper, now God is going to use the word as he makes Eve for Adam, and he uses the word, I am going to make him a helpmate, okay? A support. The word semek, let's go to the board real fast. I'm sorry, Pastor Ben.
That's okay.
Okay, so here is the letter that is used in that verse, okay? This means a support. You're going to be the support for Adam. You're going to be his, you're going to be a helper to him, right? You're going to be a helper, a support. You're going to be his wife, okay? So this support, now how do I say support in Hebrew? Samech. How do I pronounce this letter? Samech. So if I write this letter out, it says the word support. You see that? But if I just use the letter, it's Samech, it's the 15th letter. And we've gone through that as well, okay? So God is telling you twice, in two different ways, the same thing, that you need to be excited that you're in the season and you're in the year that produces judgment. Okay, so now we get this here, Samech 60, 40, 20, 120. So now, what happens with Eve, whose name in Hebrew is Chava, which has the numerical value of 19. Okay? So now what happens with Eve? She did the worst sin in the history of man. And I'm going to tell you what it was. The beginning of it was doing what? What'd you say, Satan?
Keep an ear.
Here, tell me more. Right? Because if you're listening to a liar, and you can't stop listening to a liar, pretty soon the lie is going to sound like the truth. You understand? So the big sin, the Lord told me, was that she gave an ear to it. You don't give an ear to a liar, okay? But as she's listening, now he beguiles her. He tells her the fruit's going to be excellent for her. And so she eats the fruit, and judgment comes upon who? The whole world. Adam eats the fruit because he doesn't want her to die on her own. Because the scripture says Adam was not deceived. But Adam ate the fruit so she won't die on her own. But because of this sin, judgment comes upon the whole world. And her numerical value for this is Samech 120. Okay? So God says, now, like four, this is going to be a pattern for the rest of the world when it comes to judgment. Okay? So now you get to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and God says, I'm getting tired of this. He said, you tell them they have 120 years. I will no longer deal with man. I'm giving them 120 years. Noah is 480 when God gives him this command. When Noah turned 60, the flood waters came and judgment came upon the whole world. Eight people went up into safety, okay? And grace was over. Why we say grace? Because Noah is really just hen. Noah is rest. Hen is grace. This is just, all this is this backwards, okay? It's written different because that becomes a semet, none. And you should know that because you're a Hebrew student. So this is an N, this is an N, that's an N. This is a het. That's ahead, okay? So the rest and grace, so grace ended in the 120 years. Your grace, I'm talking to the world now, not you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The grace that God has afforded the whole world to have an opportunity to get on the ark is running out. You're in the 120th year. Because in the 600th year of Noah's life, the flood waters burst open and then the flood came and then grace was over. Okay? So that happened when? In the 120th year, in the 600th year of Noah's life. And then so now God says, since Eve brought the first judgment and the support is 120, all judgments are going to happen in 120. So the flood happens in the 120th year. Then Moses sins. What did Moses do?
Hit the rock. What he should have
spoken. Moses hit the rock, and God told him, speak to that rock. Why did he hit the rock? He was angry. Why did God not want him to hit the rock? Because the rock was representing Jesus. And the rock is not going to be struck twice. The first time you hit the rock, it was fine. Okay? The first time you hit the rock, fine. Because God knew that the first time the rock come, Jesus, he was going to be struck. But now this is the second time. When Jesus comes back, ain't nobody going to hit Jesus. He's going to do the striking. So he said, now this time, I want you to do what the nation of Israel is going to do. Because he says, the rock said, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, until you say, blessed is he that who comes in the name of the Lord. So the rock tells the Jewish people, you're not going to see me again until you speak and request for my salvation. So Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, and then the rock would give him living water. But he didn't do that. So God says, okay, Moses, because you didn't do what I told you to and you act out of anger, you're going to die and not enter the promised land. Your judgment will come. Moses turns 120 years old. But when Moses turns 120 years old, he dies. But that's not just it. He dies and turns the ministry over to Joshua. And Joshua, Yeshua, which is the same as Yeshua, takes the people over to the promised land. Okay? So he's telling you not only that there's going to be a judgment on Moses in 120 years, but he's telling you also the pattern of it. There will be no more law. The only person that's going to give salvation will be Yeshua, and Yeshua will be the one who brings the people over into the promised land.
Yeah.
So you got that here, right? So now, I'm going to grab the paper. I'm not going to go back over there, Pastor Ben. I'm not have you working that hard.
It's all right.
So we go to, I'm in the paper on our notes right here. And we see the word Tzemek at the top. And here we have two words. Amod, which means pillar. Okay? Amod, the pillar, in Hebrew, has the numerical value of 120. Samson has to push the Amods out from under the stadium so that he could bring judgment on the Palestinians, and he even brought his own death by doing this. Okay, but he pushes the Amod, the pillars out, and the pillars being pushed out is 120. So God says that when the pillars are pushed out of the way, judgment is going to come. Now let's look at this. This is pretty. Now watch this. I'm going to write this because there's no better way to show this than to just write it. Okay. So watch this. I'm going to write this on the board. I'm going to write a mode, and I'm writing in Hebrew because I want you to see it in Hebrew. That means pillar. Okay. That word means pillar. Okay, now I'm going to write the word congregation in Hebrew. And it's me. And it's me. Me aod. You see that? So now, this word means congregation. This word means pillar. So what is God saying? The congregation is the pillar. So God, when he pushes the congregation out, this is the church. Well, I'm going to put an R in there. This is the church. This is the pillars. But God's saying, look, they're the same thing. So what is Samson telling you? When the church gets pushed out of the way, then judgment is going to fall because the pillars represent the church. Okay? Now, let's go back over here and because I'm going to read a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 5. 1 Timothy. I got another pair of glasses, so I don't have to go back over there. Chapter 3, verse 5. And this is what it says. I got to make sure I'm at the right scripture. No. Second Timothy. I'm sorry. I'm gonna get the right scripture because I don't want. Chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Nope. 1 Timothy 3. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 1 Timothy 3:15. OLD in the place to be. Okay, here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And this is what it says. It says, if I am delayed, God talking to you, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. So the pillar and the foundation of truth is what? The church. Where's the other thing at? So what is a foundation? The foundation is what holds up a thing, right? So we are, the church is the foundation that's keeping the judgment from coming upon the world. And so when the foundation, the pillars gets pushed out, that means that now judgment is going to come. So pillar is 115, church or the congregation is 115. Same letters pronounced a little differently, okay? Still 120. Now that happens. So now how many judgments have we had in 120? Eve brought judgment on the whole world. The flood brought judgment on the whole world. Moses, because of his disobedience, 120 years, he dies, brings judgment. Samson brings judgment on the Philistines, and he pushes out the pillars and the congregation, which is the congregation, and that brings judgment. And now God says, okay, now I want you to do it again. Saul becomes king. Okay, Saul becomes king. God did not intend for Israel to have a man as a king, but they wanted a king. So God gave them Saul. Saul reigned for 40 years. After Saul, David reigned for 40 years. After David, Solomon reigned for 40 years. And after this 40 years, what happened to the nation of Israel? They got dispersed. I think 2 to the south, 10 to the north. And now Israel is divided, and judgment has come upon the nation of Israel. They're no longer in the land. They've been dispersed out to the world. And so 40, 40, and 40 is 120 years, and that's when the judgment came. So like the letter 4 or the number 4, which produces the pattern of the sun and Judah and the birth of Christ and the killing of a lamb, is the same pattern of the 120, which is judgment, 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 judgment. Let's see. Judgment, 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 5. That's grace. You got 5 examples of 120-year judgment. Now, if you just go on the letter 15, we could do the whole thing again, right, with just the letter 15. Because the 15th letter is also going to show you judgments. Okay? So this is what the Lord was speaking to me, not yesterday, well, yesterday morning. He said the whole world should be excited. Don't worry about all of this, the moon, because people were sending me star constellations, the moon is going to be an eclipse next week and all this stuff. And the Lord says, the thing you should be excited about is what's in the word. And what's in the word is you're in the year that judgment falls. And if you're on the boat, don't worry about it. Just be happy that the boat leaves this year and that we are a part of the congregation and we are the pillar and the foundation of the in this world. We are those representing God. Praise God. All right, let's go back over here now, Pastor. Wow. So that, let's see here.
10 minutes,
that's beautiful. Okay, we did that. We did that. Okay, so now, when you get to Jesus announcing this to the people, as he says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. So just like it was in Noah, Noah's generation had to wait 120 years before they saw judgment. Okay? He says, now he says, and this is what I'm trying to explain to you guys. This right here, to have a sentence with the word pillar and righteousness in the same sentence only have, no, not pillar, righteousness and generation in the same verse. Think of how big the Bible is, but you don't have more than two verses in the whole Bible that mention what? Righteousness and generation. So what does God tell Noah? Enter you and your family into the ark, right? Because I have found you righteous in this generation. Now, Psalms 19, whose numerical value is 19? Eve, who brought the first judgment? Eve. So there's a count of 120 years. When you get to the 120th chapter of Psalms, what are you looking at? We're looking at the Mi Allah verses, the Mi Allah songs. And these Mi Allah songs are called the songs of ascent. Why? Because these are the 15 songs that we sing as we go up to be in the presence of God. Happens to be the 120th song. Okay? We're not even going to talk about writing out 120 in Hebrew, removing the vav, which means salvation, and then by removing the vav, the 120 becomes 666. So all of these things that God has put in front of us, these are the things that I'm rejoicing over. I'm not rejoicing over this or that, or someone sent me this or someone sent me that. I'm rejoicing over the word of God, how it tells you the same story so that you can be confident in his word. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. So Jesus says it will be just as it was. Now you only have righteous generation, two verses. Okay. One, it says, okay, I found you righteous before me in this generation. The other one says generation first, then righteousness. It's kind of like Noah. You understand how Noah is backwards? Noah, grace. But now it says generation, righteousness. In the first one, it says righteousness, generation. And so it's flipped the same way as Noah's name. Okay. And it's in the book of Psalms, which is the 19th book of the Bible, which is the numerical value of the first person who brought judgment, which is who? Eve. So it's like, judge, I think I've proven my case. I really just want you to pronounce sentence because I've given you the whole case. Anyone who is in Christ who is not excited about the 120th year, and you're also in during the wheat harvest, and if you're not excited about this year, and the psalm starts off being fully prophesied because we are in a year that we have to cry out to God to deliver us from lies. And now you got the bigger lie, a bigger lie that black people need to be angry with the world. And if you don't say Black Lives Matter, then you're not validating me and making me feel like I'm worth anything. So is the whole Black Lives Matter thing is if it was for a good reason, I could go with it. But it's not for a good reason. With black people, we're thinking this is a good reason. For them, the people who orchestrated this and made sure you saw those deaths on TV and are still doing more things are making sure that you stay angry to bring friction so that Trump doesn't win the election and that they can get back to their child pedophilia and their drugs and doing what they were going to do if Hillary had only won.
Distraction.
So if you're going to fight for black rights, okay, fine. But don't let these people make you mad over something they wanted you to see so that they can, now they're going to keep throwing fuel in the fire. Did you read about the young man that was found hung by a rope?
Yeah.
And then there was two hung by a rope. Then another guy got shot, okay? Now, so I'm just letting you know, okay? This is what I'm letting you know. I'm throwing more logs on the fire because I want to keep this burning. Understand?
But the COVID didn't work?
COVID was out, but now they're thinking about bringing this whole COVID thing, the vaccines, and the lady already exposed it. She said, look, this is what they're planning on killing 50 million people. They got the vaccine that is ready, but it's poison in the vaccine. I've already worked with Fauci before. She was the lady that found a cure for AIDS, a cure for AIDS, and wrote a paper on how to make sure that AIDS does not go out into the community. They took her paper and charged her with a crime. This lady goes to prison and has put a muffle on her that she's not supposed to talk about what Fauci did to make sure that AIDS was a worldwide problem. And now now when she comes on to speak, now they got other little memes that say, don't listen to her, she's not a good person. She went to jail. She went to jail because Fauci.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm getting past myself. I want to but we're in the middle of lies, and that's what Psalms 120 says. Okay? I'm going to go to Psalms because I think I might got 5 more minutes.
I think you might do too.
You think so?
I think so, maybe.
Okay. You tell me the truth now, Pastor Ben. If I'm out of town,
you have to have 6.5 minutes.
Oh, good. Okay. So now we're in Psalms 120. La 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 la. And we go 119 Psalms. The 119 Psalms is 22 Psalms with 8 verses. Okay. So you got 8 verses, 22 Psalms. Okay, you got the full letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you got 8, 8, 8 for every verse. So now it's like this is the time when Christ is about to move. Then you get to Psalms 120. And what is it called? That's the 20th letter. And you get to the Psalm 120. And it says the Psalm of ascent, of going up. This begins the journey upward to God to be in his presence. Okay? So it starts out, says, I called on the Lord in my distress. Did we do that during this pandemic? And he answered me, save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Make President Trump tell him to reopen the businesses and stop trying to ruin the communities and ruin the finances of the world. What will he do to you? And what more besides, oh deceitful tongue, you liars? He says, He will punish you. All you people who played into this lie, God is going to punish you, okay? With a warrior's sharp arrow, with burning coals of a broom tree. Now, that's the first part of 2020. The second portion of 2020 says this: woe to me, I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. It says, too long have I lived among those who hate peace. Who's living among people who hate peace? Israel. And the Palestinians hate peace. Okay? It says, I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So in 2020, Israel, look for the drums of war against Israel in the second half of 2020.
Yep.
Because soon as the church leaves, they're coming.
Yeah.
And when they come, let them come. Because unlike Richard Steele, who is one of the guys that is a CIA guy, but I'm telling you, they're not Christians. Steve Pachinik, not a Christian. Richard Steele, not a Christian. The other guy in Japan, not Christians. So they have no idea what the Bible. Richard Steele says, I think pretty soon Palestine is going to finally get their land back and Israel will be done with.
Mm.
You lying, no Bible reading, crazy man. The Bible says Israel will never be moved. So Israel ain't going anywhere. I don't care. So all the nations are going to come against Israel, or Russia's going to come against Israel. They're going to try and destroy them. God's going to destroy them. Bodies are going to lie all over the land. And then they're going to clean up the land. And then they're going. Then the Antichrist will come and say, oh, we're going to let you build your temple. We're sorry this all happened to you. And then, because he, of course, he'll be a liar too. And then that temple. But in Psalms 121, they're still having trouble with all their enemies. Psalms 122, the temple gets rebuilt. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in the gates, O Jerusalem. So in 2022, as you see the temple being erected, I want you, if they let you see this video, to go back and look and say, he said the temple was coming in 2022. That means that whoever has this temple built is going to lie. He's going to tell Israel, I'm on your side. I'm building the temple. And Israel's going to say, oh, he must be the Messiah, because we've been waiting for the Messiah to build the temple. And so when he builds the temple, they'll believe he's the Messiah, but it's going to be a lie, because they're not going to have 7 years of peace. In the third year, that same Antichrist figure is going to go sit in the temple and declare to them that he's God and he wants to be worshipped. And that will be the abomination of his desolation. And that will begin the great tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years of the 7 years of tribulation. So let the Bible tell us the story. Okay? And let us let the Bible give us the truth. Did the Bible say that Israel would be back in the land in 1948? Yes. Did they tell us the exact year? Yes. Did they tell us that it would be 1947 when the leaves would come out? Yes. They said, let them go back into the land. So that came out. Did it say 19 years later that they would win back Jerusalem? Yes, that happened. So the Word of God is telling us the story. We don't have to be anxious. We just got to sit back like the Jews did for many years and say, next year in Jerusalem. We don't have to say next year. Amen. This is our year. So praise God.
Amen.
All right.
Time for Q&A.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Excuse me for being so excited, but amen. I am excited.
All right, folks, send your questions in. It's time for Q&A.
Yes.
I know one young lady asked, she said, so is it 70, 80, or 120 generation?
It's 70, but that prophecy in Psalms 90 also says, but it can also be 80 for them because it'll be during a time of trouble. Okay? So that's going to be, that 80 years is going to be a time of trouble, okay? And in that time of trouble will be the tribulation. But it says, but soon they fly away. So even God's going to rescue them out of their trouble. Okay. Yeah. But that'll be in the 80 years. Now learn. Now understand. From 1947 to 2027 would be the 80 years. Mm-hmm. Or from 1948 to 2028 would be the 80 years. Okay. So how is it that the book of Psalms gives us a perfect picture of tribulation from Psalms 120 to Psalms 128, okay, to Psalms 127? It gives us a perfect picture of the tribulation, both the middle of the tribulation and the end in Psalms 26 at the very last verse where Jesus is saying, he who left will return with his sheaves with him. The sheaves are the wheat harvest and the barley harvest returning with Christ. Okay?
Man. Amen. Pastor Sandy, what is your best guess for rapture day?
My best guess is during the summer. Before toward the end of any time between now and the end of the wheat harvest that lasts through the month of July. So any time. But don't sit here thinking that you got time, because the scripture says the time that you think not, it will happen in a time that you think not. So I'm not waiting till the end of the wheat harvest. I'm knowing that I'm in the wheat harvest season. Pentecost is taking place. And like the rabbi says, we can't have a wedding on Pentecost because the harvest has to be taken up first. Since Ruth had to wait till the end of the wheat harvest, I think the church has to wait till the end of the wheat harvest, and then that's when the church will happen. Amen. That's when the church will happen. But I'm saying you can't ignore the 120. You can't ignore all of the scriptures that give you the 120th year is judgment. That's what you're putting your hope in, because the 120, God has given you a pattern that you're here, okay?
Amen. Pastor Sandy? This person says, I can't listen to a church that has a 501c3.
Well, that's absolutely good. I'm glad you don't. And you're not right now, so you're doing good. God bless you.
We don't have a 501c3?
God would not allow us. We tried, because we heard that's what we're supposed to do. God's like, they would give it to, like, if you were a crack addict and you were and you were living on the street and you were stealing people's stuff all night,
you could have one.
They would give it to them. But when me and Pastor Ben tried, God would block it every time. Because he knew what we had to teach, that 501c would get us shut down.
Yep.
So they can't shut us down, because we're not a church. We're a club.
We're a group of people.
We're just a group of people that gather and talk. If you come by, it says Soldier for Christ. It don't even say church on our building. So hallelujah.
I love it. Amen. How do you say shorten our days in Hebrew?
Shorten our days? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say shorten. Minimize. Reduce.
In Hebrew?
I know days is your meme, but I don't know how to say shorten days. I can know how to say you're short in days. But, so I don't really know how to say that in Hebrew. But your meme is days. But the way the days are going to be shortened is the year is 365 days per year right now. And during the tribulation, it's going to reverse back to 360-day years. So when he's talking about shortening days, he's going to reverse the cycle that was put in for the Gentile churches, 365 days, and Enoch was raptured when he was 365 years old, and so giving you the pattern of the church. But after, it's going to go back to 360-day years, and so if he doesn't do that, he said no one would survive.
Didn't that happen, a ginormous earthquake that happened that caused the days to go back?
That, yes. Are you asking that question or someone else? Yeah, there was an earthquake that caused he talks about it in when you begin to read the book of Amos. They talk about the great earthquake that happened, that because Hezekiah was given 15 more years and God brought this great earthquake and it turned back the time.
Yes, amen. Question. Is there any biblical significance between Hebrew here 5778 and or between 5778 and 5780? And the fact the sun is 5778 through 5780 degrees. Kevin.
No, but that's very interesting. Can you send me that information? Because that's very interesting. Because 5708 is 1948.
Right. Because 5778?
5778 would, because I think we're at 580 right now. So I don't know what that significance probably would be the last of the 6,000th year, because the 6,000th year ended in 2017. So we've had 3 days of just quiet, and now we're on the third day after the 6,000th year.
Amen. What portion of Psalms 120 relates to the rapture? I've read. What portion? Okay, what portion of the 120 relates to the rapture? I've read it and just don't see it. Can you?
Me neither. I don't see a rapture in Psalms 120 either. All I see is that it begins by saying this is a psalm of ascent. Mm-hmm. You know what ascent means? To go up, okay? And for the next 15 chapters, they're all songs of ascent. You know why 15 songs of ascent? Because God promised Hezekiah, yes, I'm going to give you 15 more years. What is 15? The letter Semek, 120. I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. And on the third day, you're going to go up to the temple to be in the presence of God. Hezekiah said, are you promising me this, Lord? He says, yes. So Hezekiah has 15 songs that he sings. There are 15 steps in the temple that you sing each of Hezekiah's song. And when the last step, you are in the presence of God in the Kadosh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
So that's the rapture, is the psalm of ascent going up.
Amen. Psalms 1. Okay.
Can I say this? Also, at Psalms 120, if you follow the pattern of the tribulation, after Psalms 120, the Psalm of Ascent, the next seven chapters is a perfect mirror of the tribulation. So there's your rapture.
Amen. Pastor, I think that's it.
That's it. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you guys for being here today. I love you. If you are watching on this Thursday, if you're going to be in the Hebrew club, you need to have Hebrew material. You need to know when I'm talking about a Semek letter versus an Aleph letter. You need to, because otherwise I'm talking and you're going to either be believing me off of because he looks like a nice guy, or you're going to be believing me because I studied the same thing. He's right. Okay. Uh-huh. So praise God. Thank you guys for being a part of us. Thank you for joining us today. So praise God.
I told them to contact Janelle if they want a PDF.
Uh-huh.
And I gave them a phone number for Tahira, which is distribution.
Right.
If they want a hard copy.
Okay, good deal. Praise God.
Amen. All right.
Here we go. And now we're going to pray out. And I'm hoping we're praying out for the last time, because we're in the wheat harvest season. And if God decides to come get us at any time now,
yes,
it will be just fine with me.
Yes,
okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Maybe the wheat harvest is not that big this year, because it's only 8 of us, right? So I don't know. So let's do it. All right. Yivarekaka Adonai Yishmareka. Yair Adonai pana vilecha vechuneka, yase pana vilecha veyasim lekai shalom, veyasim lekai shalom. What a voice, that guy. God is probably like, stick to the scripture. Okay, the Lord said to Aaron and Moses, when you see my people, say these words to them. Tell them the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Leitriot Bekarov soon. And that would be Sunday. And we will, or I hope to see you in the clouds. But I know we're in the season, and I'm staying joyful. Hallelujah.